God of new beginnings, you wipe away our tears and call us to care for one another. Give us eyes to see your gifts, hearts to embrace all creation, and hands to serve you every day of our lives. At the beginning of this new year, we implore God's blessing upon our work and pray for the needs of this new year of grace. Throughout all time, you have blessed your people, O God, and dwelt among them. On the first day of this new year, inspire and guide us that all we do may find in you its beginning and fulfillment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you don't mind, save me a little bit of work. I prepared a sermon for last week that I didn't get to preach. So if you're all right, I'm just going to preach that sermon today. Is that all right? I edited a little bit, you know, to make sure that it fits today. But I'm going to just go ahead and try my best to preach. We were in an Advent series called We Believe, and the first 4 weeks of that series, we talked about hope and peace and joy and love. And so this week is what I was going to preach last week on Christmas Day, which doesn't happen a lot. Happened, I think, last in 2016. The next time that will happen will be 2033. And so if we're all around in 2033, we'll get to experience that. So again, without objection, I'll just preach last week's sermon today. So I'll just go ahead and read it as is. Merry Christmas. Well, my bad. Happy New Year. It's one of my edits. What if I just started with reading some scripture? That's always a good place to start. I'm going to read two passages this morning to start. The first one is in Isaiah chapter 63. And then the second one is going to be from the book or the letter to Titus in the New Testament. So Isaiah chapter 63 will be the first reading. The second reading is going to be Titus chapter 2, starting at verse number 11. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 63, starting at verse number 7. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel, that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely, and he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. That's Isaiah 63, verses 7 and 9. Now let's go over to Titus chapter 2, starting at verse number 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly. While we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, he it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Here are two passages from the Bible, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. These two texts are separated by about 600 to 800 years, depending on how you date Isaiah. Yet, while years separate these two texts, there is a striking harmony and unity presented to us. As we As we read these texts in 2023, the message uttered in Isaiah, in his prophecy prior to Jesus' arrival here on this earth, connects beautifully to the Apostle Paul's teaching regarding the impact of Jesus' arrival. In Isaiah's prophetic offering, it begins with the grace of God. In Paul's teaching to Titus, it begins with grace. You see those passages there. In Isaiah's prophecy, the word of the Lord confirms that God himself is the agent of salvation and redemption. In Paul's teaching, not only does Paul confirm God's role, but he also affixes Jesus Christ to the loving action of redeeming us and saving us and purifying us. In Isaiah's prophetic offering, there is a vision of God's people responding to God's gracious offer through their actions and deeds. In Paul's teaching to Titus, people respond to God's gracious offer by living lives that reject worldly passions and temptations. Additionally, there is a prompting to perform good deeds, good works. These two texts, separated by hundreds of years, penned by different authors and written in different languages, both speak to the ginormous impact that God would have on this world. Both texts speak of how this world would be impacted through Jesus Christ. His birth and entrance into this world set off a condition in this world that would posit God's people as the carriers of God's goodwill on earth. And for nearly 2,000 years, this has been the undeniable reality in this world. I like to call this the Christ influence. And I would argue that ever since the incarnation, that's the first coming of Christ, when God became flesh and dwelt among us and was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Ever since the incarnation, grace and goodness and mercy and love, that love of God has influenced so much, so many people, so many institutions, so many attitudes all over this globe. Much of this influence has been enacted through those who have been purified by Jesus and made to be zealous for good deeds. That's what Paul says in Titus chapter 2, verse number 14. In the nearly 2,000 years since the birth of Christ, think of all that has been done in the name of Jesus. In the early days of the new community forged in the name of Jesus, called the church or the way, the people of God who were impacted by the grace of God, they formed intentional communities that loved one another and cared for one another, and they were so deeply concerned for one another. If you read in the book of Acts, the first few chapters, you see that intentional community there cared for one another so much so that what they owned didn't belong to themselves. They said, you know what belongs to me belongs to the community. And you had folks that would sell their objects, sell their possessions to help those who were in poverty, those who were hungry, those who were in need. That would set off a benevolent work that has been consistent in the church since its inception, that we see the needs of others and we care enough to give to those needs. We care enough to share what we have. You know, when you have more than you have, you don't build a higher fence, you build a bigger table. And that's what we've been doing in the church for years. And that's what the Reynoldsburg Church has been doing. That's what the Reynoldsburg Church has been involved in for several years. We give of ourselves to others to help those who are less fortunate, who are underfed, who are underpaid, who are living in poverty. We serve meals. We give out groceries. We partner with schools that has a school population where 80 to 90% of the kids live in poverty. That's what we do, and we do that as a direct result of Christ's influence. That's what we do. Jesus followers for a long time have thrown themselves into the practice of caring for children who are abandoned or left parentless by the cruelty of this world. Accordingly, organizations and charities have been started all over the globe, all over the world. Several months ago, you heard from Brother Jorge Castillo, who along with his wife Rosie and their family have cared for orphans. He provides food and clothing and the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, and he would tell you this directly, that he does that as a direct result of Christ's influence. Christians don't just pray for men and women and children to be healed from sicknesses. For hundreds of years, people influenced by Jesus Christ were instrumental in the establishment of medical centers and hospitals. Just take a random survey of the names of hospitals and note the biblical names attached to them. Mount Carmel is not Mount Caramel, you know, the gooey stuff that you put in chocolate. It's Mount Carmel. That's a Bible name. We went to school, Chrissy and I, in Detroit, and Bill Ray, and what's one of the biggest hospitals in Detroit? Detroit Mercy Hospital. In Dayton, it's Good Samaritan Hospital. These are Bible names. It is to let us know that these folks that started these hospitals had Jesus on their brain. They had Christ on their brain. These medical centers and this detail to or this attention to healing mentally, spiritually, physically, is all the result of Christ's influence. It seems timely to remind us of the global influence that has spread over the globe since Christ first arrived. And it seems important on the start of 2023 to declare that as people of God, that this influence will not cease under our watch. There are a lot of writing, a lot of articles, a lot of data out there talking about the waning influence of the church and the waning influence of the way of Christ. And it's troubling, it's alarming, it's something that we need to pay attention to. But 2023 is a year that we need to stand up and say, not on our watch. Not because Reynoldsburg Church of Christ threw up their hands and waved a white flag of surrender. No, we're not going to do that. Not on our watch. The Christ influence will continue through us. If we are the people who have been saved and redeemed by God, if we are the people who have been shown the grace of God in all its fullness, if we are the people who are confident that Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings, if we are the people who believe in all the promises made by that God to be fulfilled in Jesus, then we should be the people who will ensure Christ's influence will grow, and we should be the people who will live life full of God's grace, and we will be people who reject the passions of this world because we have security in the gracious hands of God. See, from God, we will receive all we need and all that is needed to flourish in this world. Allow Paul the Apostle to continue his teaching in that same letter to Titus, Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, Trina, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I said Trina because Trina pays attention to the so that's in the Bible. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Church, that's why we sing Mansion, Robe, and Crown, because we have a secure faith, a security in the afterlife, that Jesus is preparing something for us, a mansion, robe, and crown. Now, I don't want to hold you long here. I want to offer some challenges for us to make the most of 2023. And making the most of 2023, we are declaring the prominence of God's grace in our lives and our intention to continue the Christ influence in our world. Let me share with you some challenges here. Number one, and this challenge is for everyone. Start on this first day of 2023, declaring that Jesus is Lord. I'm talking about an ironclad declaration that asserts that we intend to live in the power of God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace that has been shown to us in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a declaration to reject a life of anxiety and apathy. I'm talking about making a choice to live lives that know that they are secure with an eternal dwelling. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're not a Christian, if you're not someone who has made that confession that Jesus is Lord, I'm challenging you to start today by making that confession and demonstrating that confession through baptism and becoming a Holy Spirit-filled disciple of Jesus. Start today. Today is the best day to start. Today is the greatest day of your life because yesterday is ancient history and tomorrow is not promised. This is a challenge for all of us today. Make Jesus Lord, because quiet is his kept. Even those of us who wear the name Christian, who wear the name disciple of Jesus, when we take inventory of our lives, Jesus isn't the Lord. He's one of the lords, or he's one of the kings. It's time that we knock everybody else off of that hill and make Jesus Lord. You with me, church? Number two challenge. This challenge is for everyone. Put yesterday in its place. That means grudges are yesterday's news. That means failures, that's yesterday's news. That means missed opportunities are yesterday's news. Entanglement with sin is yesterday's news. It is time to look forward. It's okay to have a healthy respect for the past and to remember and to keep that in its place, but don't let the past be your God. Let it go and look forward. It's time to move. It's time to move forward. Third challenge. And this challenge is for everyone. Start today considering how God's grace can help fuel your spiritual journey, your mental wellness, and even your physical health. My wife and I had a talk a couple days ago about just setting some goals to get healthier spiritually, mentally, financially. Setting some goals about our walk with God. I mean, here's an opportunity for us next week, if you're able to do it, to come and be a part of a multi-generational class that uses a video as a backdrop. This isn't something to venerate a movie or to just celebrate this series. This is a way for us to gather together to talk about Jesus with everyone in the church that can't do anything but help fuel our spiritual journeys. I know many of you are going to start a reading schedule this year, and many of you start your reading schedules, and by the time you get to Leviticus, you're like, okay, I'm done with this. That's okay. That's okay. Just start again. Just read the same book over a 12-month period. You don't have to read the whole Bible, but just do something to help fuel your spiritual journey. Is that all right, church? Here's challenge number four. And this is for everyone. May today be the first day of the rest of your lives, and may we consider how to be a bigger influence in our homes, in our schools, on our jobs, in our neighborhoods. Let's consider what this looks like as an individual and what this looks like as a church family. 2023, we're looking to do some big things to continue the spread of Christ's influence. Christ's influence will not wane or die on our watch. We have something to say about it. Christ's influence will continue to grow and flourish. It's a new day, a new year. And I pray that we all see what new things God has in store for us in 2023. I pray that we all embrace the opportunity for new starts and new beginnings. I pray that we will deal with our losses by anticipating the gains that we're going to experience in 2023. To him who was able to do immensely more than we could ever ask or imagine. And to him who can make all things new, to him be glory in 2023 and forevermore.
This new year, we cry out to you, the one who restores broken hearts, who refreshes tired spirits, makes all things new. Let our faith and hope be born again today. Help us to let go of the past, stop looking back, and turn our eyes toward you. We are here today in full acceptance of who we've been, but also in hopeful expectation of who you're shaping us to be. Let your love work in us so you can better work through us. We stand ready, ready to embrace all you have for our lives, ready to do your will, ready to witness the wonders of your mighty hand, ready to share the redeeming love, the perfect grace, the life-changing salvation you have given us. So today, we lift up our voices in praise to the one who washes away our failures, who wipes away our fear and doubt, to the Almighty God who makes all things new.
Now to him who makes all things new. Your invitation today is to bathe in the influence of God. Your invitation today is to be a part of something new and something bigger. Your invitation today is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be a bigger influence in our world. And that starts with Jesus Christ. It starts with surrounding yourself with all things Jesus. The mind of Christ, the hands and feet of Christ, the spirit of Christ, the words of Christ. Christ above me, Christ beside me, Christ within me, ever guiding. We'll sing this song right now, Christ Above Me, as an invitation for us to surround ourselves at every corner, every angle with Jesus. If today is a day that you want to make declaration that Jesus is Lord, starting off 2023 the right way, as we're singing this song, just make your way forward and say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I want to invite him to be the author and the finisher of my story, my destiny. I want to start this year off right by setting an example, being buried with Jesus in baptism. Just as we're going to stand and make it less uncomfortable, just come forward. We'll take your confession. We'll take you back there. Baptistry is right. We'll baptize you. If today is you kind of gotten wayward and you want to redeclare, you want to reassert, you want to reaffirm your faith, your dedication to Jesus Christ, well, you can do that as we're singing. if you have any other needs, or you just need God's grace, God's influence, God's healing in your life, you come forward and you rest assured we will surround you and pray in the name of Jesus that your needs would be met. Let's stand. Let's sing.